Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said anybody who tells you he has never made a mistake in his life is probably relying on a poor memory, his or yours. We're happy to have this privilege of coming your way with Bible meditations. We believe that the message which we bear is a message which is eternal and very important to mankind. Therefore, we're happily coming your way with this Bible message. In the 20th chapter of the book of John, we have an account of Mary Magdalene coming early in the morning after the crucifixion of Christ. And let's read three verses from John chapter 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and with them said to them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. Discussing the resurrection of Jesus in this particular passage is the account when they come and find the tomb empty. Now Jesus had predicted he would raise from the grave. He had already told his disciples, like Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man would be 3 days in the heart of the earth. And so the comparison had been made. Jesus had told his disciples, You pull down this temple, and in 3 days I'll build it up again. They thought that to be ridiculous, because they were thinking of the physical temple. But the Bible explains Jesus was talking of the temple of his body. And so the Lord predicted a resurrection. Yet when the disciples come and they find the tomb empty, they are set back. What has happened to his body? Mary Magdalene, being one who came very early while it was still dark, found that he was taken away, and so she runs and finds Peter and John. John is described as the other disciple whom Jesus loved. And she tells them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. In other words, her thought was, he has been stolen away. His body has been removed. And she had no concept, at least at this point, of his resurrection from the grave. Now, you and I know this side of that situation, that Jesus did indeed raise from the grave and left an empty tomb. The empty tomb is an embarrassment to every infidel who claims that Jesus did not raise and that he was not the Son of God. To every Christian, it's an affirmation of the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Romans 1 and verse 4, declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the grave. And so Jesus was resurrected and thereby demonstrated his power over death and the fact that he was indeed the Son of God. But you know the statement, they've taken away my Lord, in reference to this particular occasion, is a statement I'd like to take now and make some application in regard to other situations of life where the Lord has been removed. On this occasion, they were concerned about his physical body. In our study, we'll be talking about the removal of Jesus, taking Jesus away from his rightful place as far as life is concerned. Well, let's look at some of those situations. First of all, they have taken away our Lord in regard to the matter of his authority in religious matters. The Lord has all power in heaven and on earth. Do you remember the statement in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18? Jesus said, All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Jesus affirmed that God had given to him all authority, all power. Now, we're living in an age where people do not want to recognize the power or the authority that God gave to his Son. In the Colossian letter, chapter 1, the Bible tells us very plainly, in verse 18, that Jesus was given to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Christ was given to be head over the church. And in giving to Christ to be the head of the church, Paul affirms, in all things he was given preeminence. The first spot, the place of priority, God reserved that for his Son, Jesus Christ. I think all of us ought to recognize that God clearly wanted his Son to be head over the church and to have authority in religious matters. Passages like the one that we have just mentioned clearly point out that the Lord has the rule and the authority. But when we look at the religious world today, we have to say like Mary Magdalene of some time ago, "They've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him." People want to remove Christ from his rightful place of authority. In John 8 and verse 32, Jesus said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In John 17 and verse 17, "Sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth." And so the word of God is the truth that has been delivered by Jesus unto us. When we pick up the Bible and we read statements from the Bible, we're not reading the words of men. We're reading the words that have come from God. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica and commended them because they received the word not as the words of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in them that believe. Tomorrow we'll pick up at this point and speak some more along this particular line. I hope you'll be listening, and let me remind you that it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.